Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am still excited because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Luke. Now, this study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. It will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in the book written by Luke. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another every 10 minutes or so, we will have commercial breaks, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank you for who has taken time to give feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you very much, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? God said through King David, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." That's in Psalms chapter 37, verse 18. Now, the promise is that you're going to have inheritance if you know God and keep his commandments. God said through King Solomon, "Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." That's taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. Now, the promise is that if you keep God's commandments, your heart will discern both time and judgment. God said through Isaiah the prophet, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The promise is that you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace if you follow God's word. So the question is for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we start the lesson, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the lesson. Our first instruction is number 66, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 19, verse 12 through 27. Luke chapter 19, verse 12 through 27. And this is what we're going to extract, or at least I want you to pay attention to as we read the instruction. This is the instruction I want you to pay attention to. We must respond to our calling. We must respond to our calling. And this is what the text says in Luke chapter 19, verse 12 through 27. Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now he, Jesus, was identifying the Israelites, for they were the ones that he came to, and he was the light, and they refused the light. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass that he, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a few things, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up for you in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up not that thou layest down, and respectest not, and reapest not what thou dost not reap. Now remember, what we're paying attention to is we must respond to our calling. Now this is what happened because of that. And verse 22 said, and he saith unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10. That's the result, my brothers and sisters, of not following the response of your calling. Verse 25 says, and he said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. And that is what is significant here for us to understand. And the final verse says, but those my enemies, which would not that I reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. We must be very careful of not responding to the call of Jesus Christ, for the end of non-response could mean our destruction. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement and see where the Old Testament compares and agrees with what we just read. We must respond to our calling. And this is what happened in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, and verse 14 through 24. This is what happened. Now, this is what we need to pay attention to. This is connecting the dot for non-response. This is what verse 8 says of 1 Kings chapter 13. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat with thee, nor bread or drink with thee in this place. For so it is charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat not bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by this way that thou camest. Now we must realize that this was a prophet that was sent by God, and God told him what to do. And that's what he was supposed to do, and he relayed that to the king. And after the break, we'll continue with this.
You can't change your past, but Christ can. Christ can change the past by covering your sins with his blood and forgiving all the sins and mistakes you ever made. That's a wonderful thing, because God has a set of tapes in which everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought is there and will be played at the judgment. But if you come to Christ and surrender totally to him, he wipes out the tapes, he erases the tapes, and no one will ever hear them. Somebody says, follow your conscience, but your conscience may be seared, or it may be dead. It may be no good. It'll lead you wrong. You can be sincere, but be wrong. And many of you can be sincere in your beliefs and in what you're doing and the way you're living, but deep in your heart, you're wrong. You're not going according to the scriptures. You're not going according to what Christ says. And the scripture says you must come to the cross and repent of your sins and let Christ forgive your sins from the cross and wash your sins by his own blood and receive the righteousness of God. God has an ability that you don't have. He has the ability to forget. He forgets our sins. And that's the most thrilling thought in the world, is to go to bed at night and know that your sins are forgiven. Many of you must decide this afternoon. Before you leave here, every person here will decide one way or the other about your relationship to God. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you need a new experience with Christ. Others of you need to come to Christ, perhaps for the first time, in total surrender of your life to him, if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, if you're going to get to heaven. What about you? Do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? Because it's coming. And for some of you, there's no way out. There's pressures and troubles and trials in your life, and difficulties and problems, and there seems to be no answer. It may be you and your wife. You just can't seem to make it. You love each other, and yet you don't. And you fight and you scrap. Is there any way out? Yes, there's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The choice that some of you make today will decide where your children are going to be, where your grandchildren are going to be, what their lives are going to be like. It's the choices that we make. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your children may live. It affected future generations. What are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we'll continue with instruction number 66. We must respond to our calling. And we can see where we're reading in 1 Kings chapter 13, how the man of God, the prophet, was told by God what to do. And this is what the end result was, because he did not listen to God. Verse 14 says, and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak tree, meaning another prophet did. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And the prophet said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me, by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt not eat bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go in by the way that thou camest. And the other prophet said to him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But the old prophet lied to him. So verse 19 said, so he went back with him. What? So he did not respond according to his calling. So verse 19 says, he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, this is what happens when you don't respond to your calling, that the word of the Lord came into the prophet, and the old prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God, the first prophet that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the voice of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not go into the sepulchres of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten the bread and after he drunk, that he saddled for his horse or donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone away, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. Now that is what happens when we don't respond to our calling. And this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if we do not obey the words of the Lord, we can expect problems. Okay? Because of Jesus, we have repentance. And our faithfulness is that if we repent, that we will be forgiven. But remember that the response to the calling is critical. Now let's go to instruction number 67. We're going back to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to read verse 42 through 44. Luke chapter 19, verse 42 through 44. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the reading of the text. Know the Lord or suffer the consequences. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Know the Lord or suffer the consequences. And this is what Luke chapter 19, verse 42 through 44 says. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now thou art hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That is critical. Know the Lord or suffer the consequences. We are in those consequential times, more especially because there are so many that refuse to know the Lord. Now let's go to our compliment and see how it ties in the book of Genesis. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 9 and 11 through 11. And this is what it says about know the Lord or suffer the consequences. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, meaning Adam, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, God is now saying to Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shalt not eat of it? And that is what knowing the Lord and not listening to him can cause. And we know that the curse of Eden is what resulted from as his consequence. Now, what we want to do is I want to share with you what this should mean to you spiritually in your life. That basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, teaches us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's critical, my brothers and sisters. Know the Lord or suffer the consequences. So the knowledge of God is to keep his commandments. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Okay, let's go to instruction number 68. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 20. We're going to read verse 2 and then verse 9 through 16. Luke chapter 20, verse 2, and then we're going to read verse 9 through 16. And this is the instruction that I want you to draw from or to pay attention to as we read the text. Can we recognize the authority of Jesus or God? Can we recognize the authority of Jesus or God? And this is what Luke chapter 20, verse 2 says. And spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? Or who is he that giveth thee this authority? Now we're going to go to verse 9. And it says, then began he to speak to the people this parable. Jesus said, a certain man planted a vineyard and left it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. You can say that God has given us the earth, but he is not with us because of improprieties, disobedience, and the like. Verse 10 says, and at the season, he sent a servant to his husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty, meaning he sent servants, his prophets, and his holy men to speak to the people. But that's what they did to them. Verse 11 says, and again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. And then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. And that's what he did. He sent us Jesus Christ. And listen to what happened. Verse 14. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard this, they said, God forbid. And that is exactly what we're doing today, saying, God forbid. But look, the book of Revelations tells us that this is going to occur. Now what we want to do is go to the Old Testament complement and see what the Old Testament says about this, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to Judges chapter 6, verse 36 through 38. And this is what Judges says about the same. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. So what Gideon is doing is trying to recognize the authority of God at that time. Verse 38 says, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So it tells us that the recognition of the authority of God was given to Gideon, and that points to the same authority or recognition that we're talking about in Luke chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 9 through 16, that they knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They had no excuse. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that the Bible is the best illustration of God's authority we have to draw from today. The Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. We got 66 books that was compiled for us by our forefathers. After the break, we will continue.
Who is Jesus to you? Ask yourself that question. Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Or was he just a good person? Was he just a man or was he God? If he was just a man, he's been 6 feet under for 2,000 years. But if he was God, he's ruling on the throne as we speak. But who is he? Jesus. He is the creator of everything you see. He created it. There was no such thing as evolution. We did not come from animals. We come from heavenly royalty. We come from the Creator Jesus. The planets did not form on their own. They were molded in God's hands. The same hand that made the universe was nailed to the cross for our sins. That's our God. He is the Redeemer. He gave us redemption when He died for us. He knew we needed redemption from sin. He came to set us free. He redeemed the lost cause. He redeemed the broken. He redeemed the sinners who came to Him. If you have been broken to nothing, God will build you back into something for Him. That's our God. He is the King of heaven and earth. Pilate once asked Him, "Are you king?" And Jesus said, "Yes, but my kingdom is not of this world." He's been on the throne since the beginning of time, and no one can move Him off of it. He rules with a righteous hand. He is clothed in white. He is majesty. He rules the world. He is the God of Israel. He once had a crown of thorns on His head, but in the future we will cast our crowns at His feet. That is our God. He is the ultimate judge. No enemy of God has a chance against Him. His judgment is right, His judgment is just, and His judgment is final. Nothing gets by Him, nothing escapes Him. The enemy that comes against you today and makes life tough is going to have to face Him. The person that tries to bring you down will have to look up at God. The person that plans against you will have to meet the God of all plans. In Romans 12:19, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's our God. He is the ultimate physician. Miracles happen in His name. Cancer, the coronavirus, is no match for our God. Sickness and disease vanish in His presence. He's the ultimate doctor. He's the ultimate healer. He is the cure for sickness and disease. That's our God. He is our friend. When we have nothing, we still have Him. He's loyal. He never leaves your side. He never forsakes you. He never betrays you. He calls you His sons and daughters. He is for you, not against you. He is I Am. He is the Son of God. He is the Godhead, three in one. He is life. He is love. He is truth. And He wants you. He is the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep and took it up again. He protects you. He corrects you and guides you when the wolf in sheep's clothing tries to attack you. That's our God. He is the Father you've always wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He loves you more than life itself. That's why He died for you. He wants all of you and not a part of you. He wants the best for you and not the worst. If you were the only person on earth, His love for you still would have drove Him to the cross. He did not let the Romans take His life, but He gave it up for you. He is perfect, and He saw past your flaws to love who you really are. You are the apple of His eye, but who is God to you? Was He just a man, or was He God? You will have to choose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Praise the Lord. Here we go again. We're on instruction number 69. We're reading from the Bible, the book of Luke, chapter 20, verse 21 through 25. That's the book of Luke, chapter 20, verse 21 through 25. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Render to Caesar his and to God his. That is the instruction, my precious brothers and sisters. Render to Caesar his and to God his. And this is what Luke chapter 20, verse 21 through 25 says. And they asked him, saying, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no?" But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superinscription hath it?" They answered and said to him, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." Now we should realize that we're talking about, in our instance, godliness and worldliness. That is significant in this instruction. Godliness and worldliness. Now let's look at the Old Testament compliment and see what it has to say to connect and compare with. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 4. And this is what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That is what God says that we must render to him, all of our love. So what does that mean for the world? That means the world is second to that. That's the significance. And we want to add to that by going to Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And this is what Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 also says. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a different kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingle of linen and woolen come upon thee. We are being told in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, that instance. Okay? I am sorry. I read chapter 19. I should have read chapter 18. I mean, verse 18. Verse 18 is the one that is tying the dot. This is what verse 18 says. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So that tells us that I mentioned earlier that the love of God is first and the love of thy neighbor is second. That's significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must find out God's commandments in their entirety, because some of them include both spiritual and physical applications. For instance, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. So that tells us that God has something for Caesar, if you will, or for the world, but first the allegiance must be to him. And that's what I'm trying to share with you as an instruction of note in this number 69. Now let's go back to Luke. We're going to go to instruction number 70, Luke chapter 20, verse 34 through 38. Luke chapter 20, verse 34 through 38. And what we're going to do is pay attention to this instruction as we read the text. The instruction is, our relationship on earth won't be the same in heaven. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? A lot of us are misconstruing the understanding that when we get to heaven, all of us will not only be as we are here, we will know each other, but be as we are here, that's not going to be the case. Our relationship on earth won't be the same as in heaven. And this is what Luke chapter 20, verse 34 to 38 tells us. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. So there's not going to be that type of relationship in heaven. Verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and they are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And so there won't be death. So the flesh is not included in the resurrection into heaven. So there's going to be a different relationship established for us in heaven. Now what we're going to do is go to Ecclesiastes. We're going to go to the Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. After the break, we'll continue.
Every champion has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, and you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. If you lay dead, even the animals won't bite you. The risk of being bitten is the cost of getting up. And you have to decide, are you so concerned about being bitten that you're willing to spend the rest of your life laying dead? Or is there something pumping down inside of you that says, bite me or not, I'm getting up. I'm going to be the best me. I'm going to do all I can do. I'm going for it.
Anybody can do anything they set their mind to. But it depends on how bad you want it.
With enough persistence, most things that seem impossible become possible.
You just have to show up and show out. So often, time out of time, you got to wake up and you got to drive. You got to be driven to go get something done now. You got to be willing to stand on your beliefs, because a lot of times you're the only one who can see it. And other people, they don't see it really, but you got to really believe in what you got inside of you that's telling you and driving you to a certain goal for something.
The very minute that you decide upon something, you know that's what you want, you know you're going to do it, all of these negatives that have been bothering you, they pick up their baggage and get out. They can't live with a positive mind. You have to move with courage, with faith, with determination.
I don't care what it is. I don't care how difficult it is. Listen, you better put some strength in your back. Plant your feet and stand up. Don't you dare sit down. Don't you dare crumble under the weight of it. Don't you dare give in because of the nature of it. Don't you dare go home and raise the white flag of surrender, because whatever is over you defines you. And whatever defines you limits you. This is not your season to die. This is not your season to quit. There's joy, there's peace, there's breakthrough, there's provision, but you'll never see it if you don't stand up to it.
Your pain is going to be a part of your pride, a part of your product. I challenge you to never give up, never give in. And finally, God, you got to want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe.
That simple.
I know who I am and I know what I believe.
I know who I am, I know who, what
I
believe.
That's all I need to know.
And that's all I need to know. So from there, you do what you need to do.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. We're on instruction number 70. Our relationship on earth won't be the same in heaven. Let us go now to our complement and see how the Old Testament compares and agrees with this. We're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. And verse 8, and this is what it says. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's telling us that there is going to be a difference between our earthly and our heavenly situation. And verse 8 says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And that's telling us that the earth experience is of lesser consequence. It does have merit, but it's of lesser consequence. The merit is to keep the commandments of God. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our relationship on earth is clothed with vanity, but our relationship in heaven will be clothed with divinity. And that is what I'm trying to share with you. It is going to be more important, especially today, as you still live in vanity, if you will, to nurture your divinity, and that is keeping the commandments of God. That's what I'm trying to share with you in this instruction. Now let's go to instruction number 71. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 4. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. And this is the instruction we want to draw from as we read the text. The instruction says, the more you give God, the more you are recognized by him. That's significant, my brothers and sisters. The more you give God, the more you are recognized by him. Now, this is what Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4 says. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all of these have their abundance cast in unto them, unto the offering of God. But she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. This is what Jesus is telling as a parable, that when you give more, you receive more. Now, what we're going to do is go to, and he didn't say that about the widow, but that is what the widow mite's lesson is. Now, we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to tie the connection and see how it compares and agrees with what Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2 says. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And this is what Moses taught the Israelites. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You're going to have priority. And verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So if you give to God, God is going to recognize you and give you more. That's what this is telling us, or that's what I want you to get from this. Now, this is what spiritual meaning of it should mean to us, that we are taught by Apostle Paul, the more you give, the more you receive. Jesus also taught it the same way, that you will receive more. He that gives, more shall be given to him. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, shall man put in his bosom. So we know that this is significant, and that is what I want you to understand and take from the instruction number 71. Now let's go to instruction number 72. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 6, or through 36. This is going to be significantly long, but it's important, I think, because of the instruction. The instruction is, this is what happens from the day Jesus died until he returns. So that is why this is going to be read in its length, because it's important to know why this is happening from today, what Jesus, when he died, and what will happen when he returns. Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 36 says it. And the backdrop is when the apostles and Jesus were leaning against the temple, and they asked him, when will the end be, and when will the return of his coming? And Jesus told them that he did not know, and no one knew but the angels, or not even the angels in heaven, only God knew. But when Jesus ascended into heaven, God gave him this information, and he sent it back to us, through his servant John, the Revelator. And that's why the book of Revelations was written, for that purpose. Now, this is what Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 36 says. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, Jesus said, as for these things which ye behold, the day will come, in the which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And you know the temple was destroyed. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye not be deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. And you know that the Israelites accepted several other men as the Messiah, but of course they weren't. Verse 9 says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." And again, we've been involved in that from the day that Jesus died up until this day. Verse 10 says, "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, fearful sights and great signs shall be there from the heaven." And we know right now we're struggling with coronavirus. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. We know that Christians around the world are being persecuted in non-Christian countries, physically to the point of death. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. That is your testimony, that what is happening, what happened to Jesus could also happen to us. But we still have to hold fast to telling the story. Verse 14 says, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to mediate or meditate before what ye shall say. For I will give you the mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you, they shall cause you to be put to death." And we know that's the case that's happening again in non-Christian countries today. "And ye shall be hated of men for my name's sake. But there shall not be a hair of your head perish. In your patience," you hear this, my brothers and sisters, "in your patience, possess ye your souls." That's the key. You're going to have to wait on the Lord. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed by armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." When we know, and Israel is now being surrounded by their enemies, but the time still is not yet. If we read the book of Revelations, we'll know why. Verse 21, "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Remember when Israel was in Egypt, they could not go out of Goshen, or they would have been subjected to the last plague. We, after the break, will continue.
I want you to pray for me today, because my assignment today is to get into an area that is kind of difficult to get into. I want to talk to you about believe, what you believe. What you believe about your God, but also what you believe about yourself. Belief is a very important thing. It's not just a matter of denomination. It's not just a matter of being a part of a group or a tribe or a clique or a cult. Belief has all to do with your philosophy that you live by, your vision, your purpose, your goals. As Christians, we've come to understand, or you should understand, I'm not sure that you do understand, that what God is most concerned about is belief. Believing in him. He says, "I know you're weak, I know you made mistakes, I know you've erred along the way, but if you believe me, it is counted unto you as righteousness." I want that to sink real deep in your head. He said, "I know you're not right." Look at somebody and say, "I know you're not right." And even though you try, and even though you labor, and even though you commit, and even though you work on it, and even though you pray, and even though you cry, and even though you repent, the very best of us falls short of the righteousness of God. I don't care how prudish you sit up there and look at me and try to act all super holy. There are moments in your life that you wouldn't want to show on this screen up here right now. You'd be up here tipping out like this. If every thought that ran through your head could be heard on the loudspeakers right now, you wouldn't have friends, you wouldn't have kids, you wouldn't have family, you wouldn't have anything, because I don't care. If you drink communion for breakfast every morning, there are still moments in your life that you think some things that you don't want to be heard. And yet God says, if you believe, your belief is counted unto you as righteousness.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 72, and the instruction is, this is what happens from the day Jesus died until he returns. So we just went through most of the verses. I'm going to go and skip to Luke chapter 21, verse 36, and conclude that part of the instruction. Jesus says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we know that Jesus gave us a scenario of all of these negative things that will be occurring, which we are living through right now. We are being beset with sins constantly. And so that is significant. So Jesus is telling us that we must always watch and pray that we escape that. Just like the Israelites had to stay in Goshen until the plagues passed. This is what we must do. Now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, and see how this compares and agrees with what the instruction says. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, and it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever and ever. That is telling us that in the last days, Jesus will come back to redeem all of his creation and his birthright. He will be the King of Kings. He will be the Lord of Lords, and that's what the connection is here. And we should look at, I want you to realize through this spiritual understanding, this is what it should mean to us, that the entire book of Revelation is dedicated to revealing this to us. Now, that is why we have 22 chapters in the book of Revelations to tell us exactly this is what happens from the day Jesus died until he returns. That's what I want you to get from this. Now we're going to go to the next instruction, number 73. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 15 through 20 is the text we're going to look at. Luke chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 15 through 20. And we're going to take from the reading of the instruction, pay attention to the reading of the instruction as we read the text. The instruction is the Passover memorial covenant ordained by Jesus Christ. The Passover memorial covenant ordained by Jesus Christ. Now we know that there was also one, and we're going to read about that in a minute to connect the dot. But this one is the one that was ordained by Jesus Christ. This is what Luke chapter 22, verse 15 through 20 says. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents. This is the wrong reading. This is 22 verse 15 through 20. 22 verse 15 through 20. This is what it says. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For as I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This is the memorial that Jesus is saying that we must keep for him. Now let's go quickly to Exodus, because the time is running down. We're going to go quickly to Exodus chapter 12, verse 24 through 27, and this is the connection. Exodus chapter 12, verse 24 through 27, and it says, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be to the land which the Lord giveth you, according as he promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what means by this, that you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered the people and bowed the head and worshiped." So this is what it should mean to you spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that this memorial is critical to following Jesus. And without this observation, we will be lacking in receiving the abundance of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost promised by Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to know. And that is critical to us. Now, as we are closing, I want to tell you that this completes the lesson for this evening. And we are about to sign off. And the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as we say goodnight to our listeners out there, remember what Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." God bless and good night.